The Burt Show.
So CBS 46 here. I mean, they are pretty much going to confirm what I think everybody is a little bit insecure about.
Yes.
When you go to get your car fixed, right? How are you, Wendy?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for coming in.
I am curious, too, about this report on if there's gender bias or if this applies to everybody.
You know, that's such a good question. We were kind of wondering what happens. Everybody wonders. You take your car in and it's, you know, they take it back to the back of the shop and you wonder what the mechanic is doing under the hood, especially some of us women. I mean, I know I'm that way. I have no idea. My car goes kaput. I don't know what's wrong with it. Mm-hmm. So we rigged a car up that was perfectly fine with hidden cameras, three different hidden cameras on the hood, underneath, and took it in to see what kind of repairs they would suggest, what kind of work they would do, and what kind of work they didn't do that they charged us for.
Really? So nothing's wrong with the car. It's like a perfectly running, normal car, nothing, no oil change, nothing.
We go in saying we'd like an oil change and then see what they upsold us to. And we went into 10 Metro Atlanta repair shops and five of them overcharged us.
50%.
Wow.
That means 50% of the places you're going to go to are going to upcharge you when you go to get your car fixed.
We knew it. That is scary, man.
Yeah. That is really, really scary.
That is really frightening. And are they all the same company? Are they all different companies?
No, we went to Jiffy Lubes. We went to Express Lubes. We went to some mom and pop stores, a Goodyear store. I mean, we kind of went across the board to say, what's happening here? Mm-hmm. And to me, I was pretty shocked. The Governor's Office of Consumer Affairs says car repairs are the number one complaint that they get. People saying that things were done wrong or weren't done. And I mean, we've just confirmed why that happened. It was just absolutely amazing to have the cameras to show what these people were saying they were doing and just watching them not do the work and charge us for it.
They're so convincing in some cases, not the ones that don't do the work, but I'll specifically call myself out at Jiffy Lube. I just go in there for just, you know, one thing, and they would end up bringing out like the air filters and showing me this that
it's
was corroded and that's corroded.
Yeah. Isn't it always the air filter?
Yeah. Very
like,
few
didn't
times.
I just do that?
And we don't know cars well enough to know, well, maybe my air filter needs change. You know,
and that's
every
the
time
problem.
They tell me something, it's like, oh, well, maybe, yeah, no, I haven't done that. And however many years they tell me I haven't done it. So maybe, you know, and I'm trusting them.
It's well, the same thing, too, with like big appliances at your house, like your air conditioner, your furnace, or something like that.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think the problem's with your compressor. I'm like, I know, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, because they know that you have no clue on how it's put together, you know?
I was going to get some duct tape and fix it, but I figured I'll let you do it.
Well, one of the other things that we're going to show you guys tonight at 11 on CBS Atlanta News is some of the fear tactics that these people used. I mean, people who said, your transmission's going to conk if you don't get this done. I mean, just, you know, basically leaving us to believe that we'd be stranded on the side of the road if we didn't get these things done. One of the places actually tried to charge us over $1,100 for repairs that they said that we needed that we absolutely did not need.
Wow.
I mean, it's just amazing the kind of stuff that we watched happen, we caught on hidden camera, and then we go back tomorrow night at 11 and confront these guys about what's happening with the overcharges.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Don't get him! Yeah. Don't get him! We love that stuff.
Well, so, I mean, at the end of the day, though, I mean, you really have to take some responsibility for yourself. Like, if you don't know what you're doing, and I'm guilty as anybody, if you don't know, then you are opening yourselves up to getting taken advantage of.
But let's talk to the women in here. Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
Me neither.
I literally just took my car into one repair shop, and they were fixing some air thing, and it turns out it was the transmission.
It's totally cool to talk to the guys about that, too, in here.
I do think that's a misconception. I do think a lot of guys nowadays have no clue about cars either. You know?
I think so, too.
And I think that it just also shows on the other end, I agree with Bert, that it is our responsibility to know what product we have. And the number one thing we use every day is our cars. Some of us, who not a cast. And but I think that it also shows mechanics, look, if you were a trustworthy mechanic, think about the loyal following you would have by people because that is one of our number one fears.
Well,
you know?
Absolutely. And that's the advice that we got and that we're going to give people in terms of how to protect yourself. The number one thing they say is find a mechanic you trust and keep going back to that mechanic. Mm-hmm. And that's really the best way that you can protect yourself. Because, you know, we can't know. Cars are so complicated these days. It is just kind of you know, I mean, you're looking at it going, I don't know what's wrong with it. Right. I can't, on my car, I can't even tell where the oil is or the coolant is. I mean, right. I'm that clueless. So,
did you guys explore the question of, is it the owners of the shops or is it the employees of the shops that are the most likely to tell, to overcharge you or tell you you need something you don't? Because I'm always curious if it's the employer maybe giving a kickback to the employee who upsells the customers well, on the, stuff they don't need.
Absolutely. The impression that we got was that these guys somehow do get some sort of bonus off of selling you more things. Mm-hmm. I mean, we watch people saying, you know, hey, you got that, you know, boss, when they were selling us different things. And we, one of the places we went to, they actually make their employees sign something that says that they won't do those upsells, but we still caught them doing the upsells, and now those really? Employees are suspended after doing that. But the bottom line is the economy is bad. A lot of us are not going in. We're not taking our cars in to get repaired as much as we may have in the past. We're cutting corners, and so are they mm-hmm. when it comes to your car, and we catch them cutting those corners.
And this is happening on CBS Atlanta tonight, 11 o'clock.
That's right.
And do you specifically call out which places passed and which ones did not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're really? Going to let you know Sweet. Which ones. There were certain places, all they did was the oil change. And then there were the other places that tried to give us, you know, a couple $100 or $1,000 or more in repair work. And we're going to list who did the work, who didn't do the work. I mean, and the worst case where they said they were doing stuff and they just didn't do the work at all and they charged us anyway. Wow.
Do you give these places that aren't going to pass tonight, do you give them a heads up or will they find out tonight?
Oh, I go
watching?
Knocking on their door with a camera. Okay. I mean, they know nice. What's going on. They're sticking hands, you know, in the camera, you know, oh, don't put me on camera, you know. So we've got them on camera responding to these allegations. And we've got some people who responded being kind of arrogant, saying we did the work and we've got the hidden camera footage to show they didn't.
That's awesome.
This could be
That's
an entire great. Series. Seriously, roofers. Air conditioner, mm-hmm. air conditioning.
Computer repairmen, especially for you. You put that Geek Squad kid through college.
I think they're putting viruses on my computer when they get there.
That guy's like, oh, Bert called again. Give me something I can hide in his computer.
Hey, Jeff, good morning. You're on Q100. Hi.
Hey, you guys. How you doing?
All right. How are you?
Pretty good. I actually tested this same theory, you know, what y'all are doing right there, and I went to a Just Brakes and got an oil change. And also got my brakes done, and I sat there and watched him do it, so, you know, everything was cool about that. And then later on, I went to a Tires Plus, and they said I needed brakes.
And you just had them done.
Wow.
That's funny. So,
yeah.
And did it to a guy.
There is scam artists out there.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and did it to a guy, so it's not just a male-female. I do also want to ask, included in the study were dealers, you know, because I think a lot of people who own a certain brand of car will take that brand into their dealerships. Were they a part of this testing?
You know, we didn't. We took it into quick lube type places, you know, just the quick in and out oil change places. But when we talked to the guy at the Governor's Office of Consumer Affairs, he says he thinks that they're doing it at dealers too these days.
Really?
So,
really?
And you know, one of the things that we're going to do, this guy had a really interesting point, was we would get one thing done at one place and we'd go back to the next place and they'd do the same thing. And we'd go back to the next place, mm-mm. and they do the same thing. So we're going to identify what the most common upsells were that were given to us as well, mm-hmm. so people can kind of keep an eye out for, you know, what kind of things they might be getting upsold.
You should also market little cameras to put in the hood.
Yeah.
they don't have to legitimately work.
Little nanny cams or little hood cams.
They can just carry me in their pocket when they go in.
It's CBS Atlanta tonight at 11 o'clock. Hey, Mike, you're on The Voice Disguiser.
Hey, how are y'all?
Good. Thank you.
Okay, like she said, because I work at a dealership, mm-hmm. and some people there are good people, and, like, if you find someone that works on your car good, then you want to keep them. But, I mean, like, some of the other people that I work with, like, say you do some of the flushes or the transmission and stuff, a lot of the time, all the really high-priced chemicals that you're paying for, they don't even use. They just use cheaper stuff. So, and it's just, I mean, yeah, it's pretty messed up.
What is the benefit for the mechanics that work at the dealership to do that?
Well, I mean, I honestly don't really know. Like, I mean, sometimes they just keep the chemicals and put them in their personal car. Or, I mean, they're just, do different things. I mean, or half the time they just don't even do nothing with them. They just let them sit there.
Okay, this makes sense to me. This is a little bit like the same question we asked of the bartenders a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. What's the benefit of the bartender for putting the well vodka in your drink instead of the Grey Goose or the Kettle One? And the answer there was they take the Kettle One bottle home with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same here with the mechanic is what he's saying, is that they say they're putting the high-quality chemicals in your car, but they're not, and they're taking those and they're using them for their own personal vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Well, this is going to be good TV tonight.
Oh, yeah. And stay tuned tomorrow night at 11 when we go do those confrontations with these stores. I mean, it's just always fun to see the way that these people react. If nothing else, we're calling them out on the spot, and we are getting things changed. We got some employees suspended who were trying to rip you off. And, you know, we're out there trying to protect you, help save you money. So, you know.
Are they like the Chinese restaurants that Adam Murphy goes after who just all of a sudden don't speak English?
No, unfortunately, they couldn't use that excuse.
It's Wendy Salzman from CBS Atlanta, and thanks a lot. Appreciate you coming on in.
And thanks for doing the study.
Yeah, and we'll probably end up running the audio from TV last night tomorrow morning also.
The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
So, you guys ever had something that you've gone through that you just stop telling people because you just don't want to go through the hassle of the conversation?
Like telling the story again?
Yeah, just telling the story
again.
Especially
if it's bad.
Yeah, and so, you know, I had a boyfriend for almost the last year, and we broke up about a month ago, and one of my best friends still doesn't know about it because I just don't want to go through the conversation.
Like, she can't be like a first-tier best friend then. She's got to be like a second or a third.
No, she is. She's like one of my best friends from college. She just doesn't live here in Atlanta. And so, and we're about 3 hours of a time difference. And with our schedule being so early, like when we're done with work and I'm like going home or like calling friends on the way home or whatever, it's still like early in the morning. Like she's just getting to her office at work or whatever. So by the time she's done with work, we're already in bed.
Right.
You know, we're already going to sleep. So the time difference has something to do with that, too. But I just don't feel like going through the whole story because it's going to be like, well, why and what happened and this and that. Right. And then I'm, you know, potentially get all emotional about it again when I'm like, you're fine.
You just want to detach yourself from it for a moment.
Yeah, but that is screwed up. Like, there is something wrong with me that I haven't told her, and it's been weeks.
She's going to be so offended.
She is going to be offended.
Will you tell her that the breakup happened later than it did, just so she's not offended by how much distance?
I hadn't even thought about that yet.
That's a good idea.
I hadn't even thought about that, but I just feel like...
When'd you guys break up? Oh, last year. Last week? Yep.
I just don't even want to go through, like... the whole exhausting, you know, process of what that takes to go through. So I just, like, avoid it. Like, I wonder if somebody's just, like, avoided telling people in their life about, like, even bigger things that, like, lost their job.
A divorce.
Or when I got sick with my kidney disease. Like, I felt bad because there are some people that, who did not live here, who had to find out either through friend of a friend or, you know, online, you know, when the AJC covered the story, that had to read it online or because they, because it's an explanation. It's the whole emotional explanation. It's their initial, what? And how did it, you know, and you have to go through the whole kind of storyline of how it started and ended. And sometimes you just don't want to, you know, because at the time that's what everybody wanted to talk to me about. And I felt like I don't want to be completely defined by my illness. So there were times I just didn't want to talk about it. And those, you know, in talking with those friends, if I had any interaction with them, it was just kind of nice not to have to deal with it, you know?
Melissa sparked a memory for me is that Stacy and I have a friend that went through her whole cancer process without telling her parents.
Wow.
She didn't tell anybody in the family because she knew that they would dote over her and they'd move down or they'd be overly concerned. And she sort of felt like, I've got to deal with this thing with me and my husband. And if I get my family involved, it's going to be a mess. So I got to take care of myself. So she is about 3/4 of the way through her cancer process right now and the healing. And she just now told her parents and her brothers.
I could understand it. As horrible as that is, I could understand it because that's all anybody wants to talk about. And after a while, it's like, can we? Because I had arguments with my family. I had arguments with Millie Pete. Can you, when we talk, can you ask me about something else besides how I feel?
So maybe by not telling a couple people, then that's your like safety.
That's my safety zone. Yeah.
The problem here is when you go
a happy place.
When you go that long, though, eventually you have to tell everybody in the family, and then the order that you tell them in is so important because yeah. she told some in-laws before she told her actual brothers.
No.
And her brothers are having a really tough time giving that up.
Yeah, no, I can understand that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Kelly, good morning. You're on The Voice Disguiser.
Hi.
Hey.
Well, I am in the process of leaving my house, and I have not, I have told some people, I've told my family, and told other people that my best friend, I really did not want to tell her about it. And one day she was asking me about my house by email, and I just responded back, I'm leaving my house, I don't really want to talk about it. And she, you know, couldn't let that go and was asking me questions like, well, have you tried getting a second job or a part-time job and all this stuff? And it's like, look, I've tried. Thank you. I don't really want to talk about this anymore. So it's just a matter of not wanting to deal with the questions and the comments.
Yeah, I can understand that.
It's exhausting. Yeah.
You just get to a point where you've played it out in your head so many different times and hit it from so many different angles.
And it's emotional to go there. So, you know, like I know as soon as I pick up the phone and call her, it's going to be emotional. It's going to send me like back into the thinking about all of those things, like all over again and rehashing it all, just like it would be with your illness or with, you know, with losing the house or whatever. And you just like aren't up for the emotional strain or the, you know, or the sadness it's going to put on you.
And this time of year, how many people have not told people about their job loss? Mm-hmm. And they've probably been out of a job for 6-8 months and probably still haven't told people
about it,
you know?
It's true.
The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
And I screwed up. I didn't have the story exactly right. First of all, the woman's not going to be on the phone with us. So that was my mistake. I think she was going to, and she got nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But she did write Tracy a detailed email, and she is a big fat liar. As a matter of fact, I believe the subject line of her email is liar.
Yes, in exclamation point, all caps. But what are we going to call? Do we have a name that we want to call her?
You can just make it up.
Betsy. All right, we'll call her Burt Show listener Betsy. Liar Betsy. All right, she says, hi, Tracy. Does Burt Show give advice to their online listeners? I used to live in Atlanta, was a big Burt Show listener until I moved to New Jersey for my husband's job. I wake up early just to listen to you guys online. Thank you. I was hoping you'd be willing to help me out, even though I don't live in Atlanta anymore. My problem is that I am about to be caught in a lie that could ruin my entire social life. Since moving here, I've been pretty lonely without any friends. My husband suggested that I join the women's group at our new church. I thought it was a great idea, and that is exactly what I did. The group is filled with so many women with successful careers. We've got doctors, lawyers, a surgeon, small business owners, and a bank president. There are a few women who don't work, but they all stay at home. They are all stay-at-home moms who left their big careers to raise kids. Now, as for me, not only do I not have a successful career, I have a pretty lame job. Right now, I am working at a tanning salon for extra cash. I'm working side by side with 18-year-old girls. I've never had a, quote, career. I don't even have a college degree. Obviously, I was a bit embarrassed when around all these women, so I told them I owned my own marketing PR firm. I know nothing about marketing or PR.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yes. And she said, it really didn't matter until recently. Two of the women on the group have been doing some volunteer work for a nonprofit organization. Apparently, this group needs some marketing and PR.
Oh, no.
They asked if I'd be willing to offer my expertise for a good cause, and I agreed. I have my first ever business meeting set up for Friday afternoon where I am to offer my advice to these women on what I think they need to do to market their organization. What was I thinking? How do I get out of this? I can't back out and cancel on a nonprofit, yet I know nothing about this stuff. They probably know more than I do. Please help.
Oh, no.
Betsy.
Immediately, I say flu. flu. You got the flu today.
But then it doesn't go away.
I know, but she can at least stall
and postpone.
Try to figure something out.
And what, take a marketing class?
It's supposed to be this afternoon.
Or find that somebody who knows marketing. Get a friend, a college student, somebody.
Can't you just BS your way through marketing?
No.
No.
You can't?
We need to find her.
Stop trying to.
We need to find her
mad.
A real marketing person to come in as her quote-unquote business partner.
But they need matching t-shirts, too.
Yeah, they need to be dressed alike.
Yeah, but remember, she's in New Jersey now, and one of the things is she doesn't have friends up there, so she doesn't have anybody that can come in as her partner or her associate.
But what about someone in Atlanta who could be a marketing partner?
Over the phone?
Like on a conference call or whatever?
And then she could say, you know what? I think that's a great idea, but that's really my partner's.
My associate, this is her specialty, is nonprofit, so I'm going to let her.
And have her on speakerphone or something? Or like maybe just take take very detailed notes during the meeting and say, I'm going to run these by, and then hire a marketing PR person.
Now, let me play devil's advocate for a second, because listeners suggested that we help out. Who was it that they wanted us to help in a lie yesterday with the woman who had said that she had been left and cheated on, and that's why she started this relationship. Her boyfriend,
right,
or soon-to-be fiancé, thinks that they're... You know, their relationship is based on that. Well, listeners said that we should help her with her lie, and we said, oh, no, we would never do that. And
but this is for a nonprofit.
Okay,
somehow I'm more sympathetic to her.
To which one? Our girl today?
Yeah, our email today, because she just wanted to fit in. She just wanted to be cool.
I just wanted to make a friend.
I just wanted to talk about something that I don't know how to talk
but
about.
But I think, I think that for the most part...
Mm-hmm.
There are some professional topics or whatever that can be easily BS'd through. Marketing and PR is one of them.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Sure. You're just saying that?
No.
I think you're just saying that to be combative.
We live in a city of 9,000 marketing and PR people, and most of them went to school for, you know.
Marketing and PR.
Marketing.
Spanish.
Communications.
Like, they...
Oh, Jeff.
All you got to know is how to sell something.
I get offended when people, you know... Belittle our job.
Okay, Jeff.
It's not belittling. I'm just saying, like, give me something to sell.
Yes, you are belittling.
Well, then how do you market a nonprofit? Since anybody can do it.
Well, first of all, you don't have a budget, right? So that's the first thing. How are we going to do? Listen. Here's how it starts. How are we going to do this?
You want to be her. Why don't you go with Betsy and you be her marketing?
Here's what I know going into it. It's a nonprofit, which means they don't have money because they're a nonprofit.
Okay.
So you go in and you go, listen, what we need to do is find some grassroots guerrilla marketing type stuff. Booyah! Keywords. Make you sound smart. Grassroots, guerrilla.
But you have to create that grassroots marketing campaign for them.
Postcards. Mm-hmm. You do a postcard that explains what the nonprofit is, and you pass it out in areas where your target demographic congregate.
Mm-hmm.
Then you spin it back on them. Where do you think your target demographic is? Booyah!
Where do we
demographic,
get the money?
Keyword, target, keyword. Boom.
Why don't you do it?
Yeah, why don't you do it and
see
how
successful? I think it would actually be really funny to listen to you BS your way through a meeting like that.
BS my way through my whole life. I could do it, no problem.
Save that.
Hey, listen, I'm about to BS my way through knowing what this woman's name is. Nydia.
That's exactly it.
Booyah. Keyword. How are you?
I'm good. I have a degree in business, and if she can't find someone to help her through this process, she should go online and figure something out, because they have shortcuts online about promoting nonprofit organizations. They do things a little differently for tax purposes, and she can find a lot of information quickly online.
Well, she'll have to do that, because the whole point of her being a part of this women's group is to get friends. So she doesn't have, you know, she doesn't have any friends in New Jersey, and so she's trying to impress these women.
What if she's going to have to leave her church.
What if she jacks up the whole thing? Like, what if it's a nonprofit, you know, trying to find a, you know, cure for A, B, and C, and she screws up the whole thing, and the nonprofit has to close?
Oh, well, I think she'll have to leave the church before that happens.
Hey, Aaron. How are you?
Good. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just curious, like, how old is this lady? I mean...
She's old enough to know better.
Why is she so insecure that she feels like she really has to make up this whole, like, elaborate lie that she owns a marketing firm to fit in at a women's group at a church?
Yeah, but still, I'm sure it was just, like, you know, casual conversation. Like, she's thinking she's going to be part of the Flower Guild and, you know... Put up some bouquets every weekend and make some new
friends.
What's
it called? The Junior League?
The Flower Guild at church, you know? And then they're all going around like, well, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? And she just spits it out.
See, she took my kind of lying a little further, because my kind of lying would be if somebody said, hey, Melissa, are you in marketing? I'd be like, yeah.
Sure.
You know, sure.
Sure.
Can you help me?
Does it get you away from me and wrap up this conversation? I am, indeed.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So she said she was a marketing PR, but I could see easily when somebody said, hey, can I get your help with your marketing? Sure. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great. I'd be happy to do that, you know? So I can see where she could easily do it, because I do it every day.
And I don't think... I'm with
you,
Jen.
You tell me you do something, and I'm like, yeah, I know about that movie. I know about that song. Sure.
Listen, Ben's trying to challenge my marketing expertise. What do you got, Ben?
Hey, Jeff, if you're going to market for a nonprofit, they actually do have giant advertising budgets. They're just not generating money except for the charity. So make sure if you're the specializing person in a nonprofit for marketing, you don't say, well, I know you guys have no money to work with. they probably have a pretty good size advertising budget.
No. You don't say that, Ben. Hide.
All right, expert Jeff at marketing.
I've been in marketing now for 4 minutes.
I'm actually glad he called you out on that.
Yeah. No.
I think Ben's very smart.
What you say is, look, this is you're a nonprofit. You don't want to spend a lot of money. You want to stretch your dollar. Because you don't have a lot.
Oh, that's another key phrase.
Yeah.
Stretch your dollar.
Mm-hmm. And that's normally, a nonprofit's advertising campaign is to generate revenue, so they have some sort of budget they're going to use to try to generate donations.
Yeah, now, and stretching your dollar is not just a nonprofit.
Stretching your dollar is the name of my marketing firm. Hey, Jeff.
Get it? Stretching your dollar?
Stretch Your Dollar PR.
That should be the name of your company.
It is. It is now. Hey, Lauren, what's going on?
Hi. I was just calling because I'm a small business owner, and I actually have a full-time job, too, working for two women in Alpharetta in marketing.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I don't know. When I heard this, I mean, I thought it was funny because everything you guys say is funny, but
Let me ask you a question. You work in marketing now. I'm assuming your degree is like an associate's degree in restaurant management.
Actually, no. I have an art education degree.
See?
Oh, honey.
All right.
I love art education, but I just, yeah.
When did you make the leap from watercolors to marketing?
Well, because I was selling actually people collect my work over the last 11 years, so I was learning how to market myself the whole time. I helped open a school. Because of that, I helped raise money for them, and then helped do the design of all of the brochures that went out for the school. I just was done with schools. I couldn't handle the politics in the school, so I left, and I wanted to divulge into marketing because I had done so well at the school.
So,
and these ladies took a chance on me, and they've really been happy with what I've done.
So you can help our listener?
We're going to have to put our resumes together because I don't think you even...
What'd you get your degree in, Jeff?
She can help.
GED.
Well, I mean, if you think a restaurant manager can do it, then why can't an art education person do it?
You can totally do it. I'm sure you're excellent at it. Don't buy into what Jeff is saying. I think you could totally help her, especially if you're willing to do like a conference call with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I would do either a conference call. I mean, it depends on what time. I'm actually going into the office right now, but I mean, she could even call me later, say that she's got an associate in Atlanta.
Are you okay with lying? I mean, I know you're in marketing, so for the most part you are. But
come on.
I'm lying. I feel like I'm helping a nonprofit. That's the part that I don't like.
The nonprofit part.
But you're gonna have to lie. What do we decide to call her, Betsy?
Betsy.
For our virtual listener, you're gonna have to essentially lie in order to help her because she's gonna say, "This is my partner in my marketing firm." You know. Betsy Boop PR or whatever.
Watercolor marketing.
Yeah, there you go.
It's all for a good cause, though.
Oh my God. You could be her consultant, and that's not lying.
Somebody who worked alongside with her a long time ago or
Perfect.
Something, and I'm in Atlanta, and I specialize in nonprofit.
All right, hold on. We're going to get your information, okay?
Is it the nonprofit angle? Is that why we are okay?
You know what?
Yeah, it's for charity. It's a good cause.
And it's also because it's Friday. Anything goes.
Our next caller, his name is Stan. He works in marketing, and for some reason, he has a lot more credibility than anyone else we've talked to about marketing, because Stan is a marketer.
Is awesome Stan the man?
Stan, what's
Hello,
going on?
Hello, Bert Show.
Hey, Stan.
Hello. Hey, Stan.
I've been in marketing PR for about 25 years, the last six for nonprofits, and these aren't charitable nonprofits. These are, trade associations, professional societies.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the other caller's right. There's budgets for marketing. It's not that they can't do marketing. It's just that you can't show a profit.
Right.
Two pieces of advice. Mm-hmm. I would start the meeting with more of a discovery meeting where you ask a lot of questions and just listen and find out what their problems are, what their communication needs are, find out more about their audience. Just be that listener to understand more about the association. You can sit and listen and take notes and nod your head a lot.
Yeah, and you don't even have to take, because you can remember most of the stuff, so you could be playing MASH, you could be doing all sorts of crazy stuff on your notepad.
Online poker, crossword puzzles.
Just ask them their goal, goals and objectives. We've all heard those terms for marketing and for business. Let's talk about your goals. What are your objectives with the organization? Let's talk about your business plan. What kind of things do you want to do?
Stan,
do
you want
membership?
Would you be willing to talk directly to her one-on-one, maybe even during this meeting?
I got to work today, so probably not during the meeting. I'll be working at the same time she is.
You're in marketing.
Yes.
So just
Jeff,
so just
stop
go.
It. Don't be disrespectful.
Just go on a client visit.
I do like Stan's buzzword of a discovery meeting.
Sure.
That's good.
Right. You've got a significant amount of credibility because of the keyword and the name Stan. Do you have a mustache?
No.
Okay. Well, you're still good. Hold on. We're going to get your information.
Now, I mean, I feel better because all the marketing people are calling up to support.
Not everybody's supporting.
But Betsy's eventually going to have to come clean. I mean, she can't.
No, she can move.
She's lying to people. She's lying to people in the church.
New church.
I think she just needs to go through this and then convince her husband that they need to change religions.
What kind of church does she go to?
She doesn't say. Everything in the email.
Scientology. She can always find another one.
She could just switch and become. She could go from Presbyterian to Methodist, and nobody will know.
Episcopalian,
sure. Yeah.
Hey,
she could switch it up.
She could just sit at home and watch that TV church that my grandma used to watch. Hey, Kathy.
We have it online now.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm fine.
All right, turn your radio down so we can hear you loud and clear, and then kill our buzz.
Okay, I gotcha.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, I think you guys are going off in the wrong direction. I mean, I think we need to go more with the lie. I mean, she's just going to get in deeper and deeper, and then they're going to ask her to do other things.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in church groups before, and you're just going the wrong way.
What?
I mean, she could just say to these women, look, you know, I really wanted to fit in. I really screwed up. You know, I don't really have a degree in marketing.
No.
You know, I just really think you're really taking her down a really dangerous path.
So are you proposing honesty?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Kathy, thanks for calling. Yeah, we'll have none of that on this show.
Yeah. As evidenced by the past week.
Yeah.
Well, why doesn't she just say her company went under? She just needs to say her company went under, and she doesn't work there anymore.
No, she's trying to create new friends in this new town, and I do think she's starting off on the wrong foot.
But that doesn't, if she says her company went under, she still has the experience. I think what she needs is amnesia. Like, I think she needs
an evil twin like the soap opera.
You guys remember Katherine Heigl in the last episode of Grey's Anatomy where she just asked the same questions every 3 minutes?
Nope.
I stopped watching that show years ago.
Next church group, she just needs to start doing that.
And they'll just think that she has early onset Alzheimer's.
Right.
And they'll start their own nonprofit for her.
Perfect.
The Bert Show. Get it? The Bert Show.
Monique, there's so much ground to cover with you here. I don't even know where to start. I guess we can start with Atlanta. Were you living here in Atlanta before the talk show, or did you come here specifically to do the talk show?
I lived in Atlanta years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is really where I got my start in comedy.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was Baltimore.
Yeah, well, I told like my first jokes in Baltimore, but then comedy was really hot in Atlanta. So this is really where I got my chops wet.
So,
nice.
So what clubs did you used to do your comedy at, and what years are we talking about here?
It was the Comedy Act Theater,
mm-hmm.
and then it was Uptown Comedy Corner.
Okay.
It was on Peachtree.
Okay.
Were they nice to you? Because those first couple of times that you try stand-up, I'm sure so hard. Were they nice to you, or did they just come down on you?
You know what? Knock on wood, I've always had a great time on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never had that moment of, oh, God, maybe I should rethink this.
Was comedy something you always knew you wanted to do?
I've always wanted to be an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to be famous. But exactly what it was going to be, I didn't know until I told my first joke.
Mm-hmm.
What was your first joke?
Y'all got the people ready.
It was dirty?
Huh?
It was dirty?
Of course.
Yeah.
Dirty, it was honest.
Mm-hmm.
What was the subject matter?
But I just call it honesty.
And how about Atlanta now? I know you were here back in the day, but Atlanta now, like where, if you're doing your show at BET, where are you hanging out now? Your favorite places to go?
You know what? I'm such a homebody baby.
Mm-hmm.
Once I'm done doing the talk show, I bring it home. I got babies, 4 years old.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the party happens right here with the Wiggles, Blues, Clues, Sesame Street. We get down.
I am right there.
So, Monique, what's been the biggest challenge transforming into a talk show host for you?
The biggest challenge? I don't look at any of it as a challenge because it's a big playground.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're on the playground, baby, you just play. Now, you might not ride all the rides real good. I'm still trying to balance the seesaw, but I'm still playing.
You seem to have this kind of attitude that, God, I wish I had it, actually. Like, you just don't take it too seriously. Like, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, you're still going to move on.
Well, only because I'm a big believer in tomorrow is not promised. Mm-hmm. So if today is my last day, I'm going to have a good time on the ride.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you don't, you have zero fear of failure?
Zero fear.
Mm-hmm.
And what is failure?
Well, like, let's say the reviews for Precious came out and they were, you must have been nervous that they were going to be absolutely terrible.
Well, let me just tell you how I think about that.
Okay.
I couldn't pay attention to the numbers or the reviews. My hope is that one person will walk away and think differently.
Mm-hmm.
And if one person walks away and thinks differently and either gets themselves some help because they have been molested or they're the molester and they get themselves some help, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great thing, baby.
Well, and the passion that you have in your voice, I mean, obviously comes through in your character, but have you at any moment thought to, you know, to begin your Oscar speech?
You know what? We've already won.
Mm-hmm.
We've already won, and I have to tell this story because it was so sweet in the moment. We did a Q&A out in L.A. for the Directors Guild.
Mm-hmm.
And after they did the screening, we were out in the lobby, and after the Q&A, we were talking. So this Asian brother comes up to me, and he has tears in his eyes. And he says, Monique, what I'm getting ready to say is going to sound weird, but I am Mary Jones. And I treated my brother and sister like that. Now we're hugging and we're holding each other really tight and he's sobbing. And I said, congratulations for your honesty. Now go get you some help.
Mm-hmm.
We won right there. So no, I haven't developed any speech because we've already won it.
So many aren't going to know who Mary Jones are. This might be the first time they're hearing about Precious. So if you're going to do like a 30-second review of exactly the character and the movie, what is that?
Precious is a movie of illiteracy, sexual molestation, physical abuse, HIV and AIDS. But it's also a movie of triumph. It is heartbreaking, but it's heart-healing. The characters in this film, you either know someone like them, or you might be them. So it's a movie that I suggest everyone goes and sees, because it's life-changing.
How did you mentally prepare for your character?
I didn't have to mentally prepare for the character, because I knew the character.
Mm-hmm.
I was molested as a child, and I was molested by my oldest brother, Gerald.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother was that character. He was Mary Jones to me. So when Mr. Daniel said action, that's who I became.
Wow.
When you had to turn it off, you know, after scene, did it bring back a whole bunch of memories for you from your past?
No, because before I went to New York to begin filming, my husband and I had a sweet conversation. And he said, Mama, leave it on the floor. When he says cut, let it be cut. And that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing to me that you could just turn it on.
So brilliant, because when he said cut, he would put on some house music, baby. We would dance and eat crab legs and laugh. One old party.
How did it feel for you when Tyler Perry and Oprah Winfrey got behind the film?
You know, I understood it because they both know what it's like to be molested.
Mm-hmm.
And they speak about that openly. So I understood it, and we were very appreciative and excited because they are the most powerful black people that we know in this country, in the entertainment world.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know when Oprah Winfrey puts her name behind anything,
mm-hmm.
right, just go ahead and get you a small island wherever you want to.
You know, we've had Tyler on a whole bunch of times on this show, but working with him, like, if you didn't know his name, what makes that guy who we know as Tyler so special?
What makes Tyler Perry so special?
Yeah, what makes Tyler Tyler when you're working with him?
Well, actually, I've never worked with Tyler.
I thought he produced a movie, right?
No, let me explain how this went down.
Okay.
Once Oprah Winfrey and Tyler Perry saw the film was already done.
Oh. Mm.
in the can, done. Once they saw the film, then they said, oh, my God, how can we be a part? How can we help? So that's how they came onto the film.
I gotcha. Okay, I had
they
it the other way
They saw it at one of the small festivals, right?
Right. But the film itself is totally the vision of Lee Daniels, who was just absolutely brilliant. He is the most brilliant director of our time.
Did you ever have to pause when taping scenes because it got too emotional?
Didn't have to pause, but there was one scene where I had to get myself together. Actually two. One when Mary Jones throws the baby, and the other scene is when she throws the little girl and calls her an animal. Mm-hmm. So it was those scenes that when he said cut, I had to go grab that baby, grab the mom, and we all had to have a group hug.
Right.
Like, oh, Lord, wait a minute, honey. Let me get myself together. But that was it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I teased earlier about you and your Oscar speech, but another person that's getting a lot of attention for their role in this is Mariah Carey as well. So how was it working with her?
Amazing.
Yeah?
Amazing. When I tell you, I don't know where people get their perceptions from. I really don't. And it's unfortunate that the media is just what it is. This woman is amazing. Brilliant.
So you think she gets the diva label unfairly?
Oh, so unfairly.
Really?
Was on time every day, was just on point, just beautiful. So every experience that I've had with Mariah Carey, 5 thumbs up.
Well, every critic already is saying, like, Academy yeah. Award for you and for the movie. So congratulations with it. I mean, what a coup for you. Has anybody in your camp ever said, you know, this is way before you took this role. Has anybody ever said, you know, you probably just want to stick to one thing. You either want to do drama or you want to do comedy, but people aren't going to buy in both roles.
For people that have said that in the camp is no longer in the camp. And you know what, guys, really quick, I have to say this about the young lady who is the star
yes.
of the film, Gabby Sordabe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She is so amazing. She's breathtaking. Like, there were times that I would be watching her performance as I'm in the scene with her, and I would be saying, wow. Like, oh, my God. And it's her first time.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow.
For acting. So just, it's a must-see, and just everybody. Paula Patton was amazing. Lenny Kravitz was amazing. Sherry Shepherd was amazing. Just everyone was just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Is there any fear that, you know, we're in this sort of recession right now and people are kind of bummed out? Do you think that people will stay away from a movie that sort of emotionally drains you when you're in it?
No. No, people are going to run to this film because even though it's emotionally draining, but have you ever been in a position where you were trying to get over something and when you got that real good cry out, you then stood up?
Mm-hmm.
That's what this movie is. You get that real good cry out, but it makes you stand. It makes you not complain. It makes you not judge. It makes you say, I refuse to live the rest of my life locked up inside of myself. And if I do, shame on me.
Mm-hmm. Well, Monique, good luck with this, and good luck with the movie. I know it's going to be number one next week. I really do.
Brother,
everybody is saying such great things yeah. about her, so good luck with it, and thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank y'all, baby, so much. God bless you.
Right, you too, Monique. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
How cool is she? I want to hang out with her.
She's awesome.
So confident. Don't you love that kind of confidence?
Definitely.
The name of the movie is Precious, and it comes out this weekend?
Yes. Well, it opened in Atlanta on Friday.
And then the wide release is this weekend.
You got it.
All right, it's Precious, and that is Monique, and she says Mariah Carey is going to blow you away. It's what everybody is saying.
You're on The Burt Show.